This is Kim Meyer, host of Choose to Rise. Thanks for listening to the following broadcast on Public House Media.
Strike three, you're out.
Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Caught Listening by Public House Media. You can also email the show, caughtlisteningphm@gmail.com, to be a part of the show. We continue on with a series that caught a lot of attention last week with Anthony Castrovince of MLB.com and MLB Network. We appreciate his time. But as much as we love Anthony, we love the Insight Forum. As someone who has worked in baseball, I can tell you that those of us who just talk about it don't know as much as the guys who are in it every single day and the guys on the field. And to help us talk about baseball's unwritten rules from the field level, as a guy who's been doing it and knows quite a bit about it, Jamie Keefe, he's a manager of the High Point Rockers in the Atlantic League. He's also been a manager for close to 20 years now and has got close to 30 years of professional baseball under his belt. And I've known Jamie for seven, almost 8 years now, and so have a good friendship with him, and we're excited to have him back on the show. And Skip, this is a fun one to kind of talk about, because it's one that you never not talk about, the unwritten rules of baseball.
Every day, and especially today. I think these last few days have been crazy. I was watching High Heat earlier before I came in, and Chris was on there just blowing up about the Yankees and Tampa and what's going on.
Yeah, I mean, so real quick, let's just go to this, because it's one of those things. I think part of the reason why so many fans and media members get upset or annoyed about the unwritten rules is because they're just that, they're unwritten. So when did you first learn about the unwritten rules?
I think you learn that as a player coming through. You know, when you're playing at the professional level, things are different. You know, when you're in high school, college, you play and you're going to score as many runs as you can. And you know, if you can beat somebody by 25 runs, that's what you're trying to do. You know, at the professional level, there is a mutual respect between the clubs, and you just go, you go out and try to win every single game. But, you know, there's some things that are done and unwritten that happen every single day. And, you know, some of those are, you know, let's go to back in the day. I mean, the game has changed, Christian. It's changed a lot. But you know, when you're up 7-8 runs and after the fifth inning, you shut the running game down. What does that mean, even to the fan that just doesn't know some of these unwritten rules? You know, used to be up 5 after 5. Nowadays, it's changed a little bit. You know, it's definitely with the home runs that are being hit now, there isn't such a safe lead as it used to be. So, you know, there are a lot of things that go into this, but the up 5 after 5 has definitely changed, and that's one of the things through the years. You've got to change with the game. If you don't, you end up on the outside looking in. So
it's interesting, too, because there have been moments where baseball has tried to – baseball players and coaches and staff, they will they'll police the game themselves. Yep. We talk a lot about that. You know, players will police players and stuff like that. But at one point, it seemed as though baseball as a sport, as an organization, tried to take some of that running out, that 5 after 5, with the addition of defensive indifference.
Yep.
That more so goes for teams that are trailing in those situations than anything else, and not letting guys get bags whenever it is. But it's interesting. Anthony Castrovince last week brought up something that I thought was kind of interesting. I wanted to get your takes on this. You obviously, you were a middle infielder in your playing career.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know, and I know how you feel about pitchers.
Yep.
But he basically said that a lot of these unwritten rules were made to protect a pitcher's ego.
Yes, for sure. You know, these guys, you know, guys, here's my take on it today. And it's certainly changed over the years. Yeah. You know, a lot of it has. But I think you need to look at, when a guy's getting shelled, a guy's getting shelled. There's a reason you shut the running game down. When a guy, you know, if you get a man on first and second and he's taken 1.5 to 1.7 to get to home plate, you can take third and second and be standing up. But if this guy's already given up 5-6 runs or 7-8 runs in that game, or even in that inning or the last two innings, you know, if somebody hits a ground ball, it's a double play ball, we just go on to the next inning and we get out of it. Especially if it's late in the game and it's the eighth and you're already up by six, seven, eight runs. These are the small things that you just – that happen in baseball that you just – you just know, you know? And that's the – that's where that unwritten rule comes in or go ahead.
Where does that get taught then? You know, for you as a player coming up through the minor league system, you know, you got drafted right out of high school, so mm-hmm. you did play at the collegiate level. Mm-hmm. And I think today now you see it because it is talked about so prevalently. Maybe some college guys do take exception to certain unwritten rules and stuff like that. But who is it? Like when does that happen? Is it just kind of a, like, you don't learn it by osmosis. Somebody in a clubhouse, in a dugout, tells you as a rookie, you know, maybe you're playing at the double A level or you're mm-hmm. one of the younger guys. Where does that come from? Who teaches that?
That's a player thing, you know, it's player to player. I mean, you're right. It is the older guy that's been around. That's, he may be 20 years old, but you know, you're talking about me being in rookie ball. I was 18 years old and was a deer in the headlights. And you've got guys that, you know, you play with throughout that year and the next year that, it happens during a game, you know, some of these things happen during a game and you just, you have to be taught and you wonder why somebody's getting thrown at. Well, if he stood at home plate and watched the ball go 450 feet and, you know, when I played, and I say that because it was a long time ago, let's be honest, and the game has changed. But, you know, when you, back in the day, if you hit a ball and you pimped it and you stood there and watched it, you're going to get one in the back the next at bat. That's going to happen. And nowadays, you know, that's where you came up with what you said just a little bit earlier about protecting that pitcher's ego. You know, it's protecting stats. You want, you know, guys work really hard to get to this level and they try to stick around. So everybody's in it for the same reasons. You're all in it. At the end of the day, you know, bench is clear. You're in each other's faces. You can't stand the other team. But when the last pitch is thrown, you probably know somebody on that team and you're probably grabbing dinner or grabbing a beer with them after the game. That's just how the game goes. It does the same thing with the coaches. You know, we have such a great relationship with our, you know, our counterparts. There's guys that I can't stand, but I'm still going to hang out with them. They're still family. They're still baseball people. That's just how it is. So, you know, everybody's out to protect one another for sure. And, you know, it tends to be a long season when you're playing 140 of them or 160 of them like they are in the big leagues or 60 of them this year. You go out and do your job every single day and you make sure that the game is policed by itself. It's policed by the other players and you learn from guys, you know, they pull you aside and say, listen, dude, you're going to wear one the next at bat. Why? We're up six runs. It's the eighth inning and you just took second and third on two consecutive pitches. Be ready. You know, those are the things that you learn. It does. That's how they police it. And it's, you know, it's somebody on your team or you see it happen and then you don't even know why. I mean, that's basically how it does happen. You don't know why is he getting done? Why is everybody chirping? Well, they're chirping out of their dugout because they're pissed that he did do that, that he stood at home plate and watched that last home run, or the guy took second and third, you know, or you've got a position player on the mound throwing and, you know, he's pitching just to eat an inning up because you don't want to use another pitcher. And you show him up, you know, you hit a home run or you hit a double and then you steal or something like that, where they're just out there just to get through the game, to be unscathed, to save his bullpen, to have a better shot at tomorrow. You know, you're always worried about that win today, but you know, what's going to happen tomorrow, especially the way baseball is even today. I was listening, you know, like I said this morning, and you've got the Phillies coming up on, Phillies are coming up on 22 games in the next 20 days with 2 days off. They've got four scheduled doubleheaders. I mean, that's a ton. So you have to look at these things and thank God they can bring these other guys up and they can rotate their roster. But you know, when you look at that, I mean, I've been in baseball long enough that I've managed leagues. I've told you this before. I think, I don't know what year it was, early 2000s. I think, when I was managing, I think I went 17 to 19, maybe 20 days without playing a 9-inning game because we had so much rain that summer. So you just back to back to back to back to back doubleheaders, and you're just trying to do whatever you can to get through those 7-inning games to save your bullpen for the next day. So, you know, that's when things get heated. That's when you might be in your fourth day in your fourth doubleheader in the last week, and you're just trying to get through and you have tomorrow off, you know, and you're trying to win the ball game, but now all of a sudden you're down by 5 or 6 and you're playing against a team that's trying to run up the score on you. That doesn't fly.
Yeah, and it's interesting. We're talking with J.B. Keefe, professional baseball manager in the Atlantic League, independent baseball, former minor leaguer as well. It's just one of those things that's interesting. You're just trying to almost – baseball's a fraternity. And like you said, as soon as the game's over, whether you can't stand them or not, they're part of that fraternity, and you're probably going to hang out with them still at some point. But there are certain ways to interact with people that it's almost kind of more of a respect thing more than anything else. I want to go to where this whole thing kind of started off because – He's a player that has tremendous talent, and he's on a team that has been laughed at for decades now, but is really, and they made obviously huge moves at the deadline to get Mike Clevinger, and that's, of course, Fernando Tatis Jr. Yep. and the San Diego Padres. And Tatis hitting a grand slam up 8 or 7, whatever mm-hmm. it was, in the 8th inning, and no lead is safe in baseball, especially mm-hmm. now with the home runs. But that is the one where it really kind of started because, and I even spoke to you about this almost right afterwards. As a competitor, and this is the question that always gets asked, and this is why it's hilarious for non-competitors to talk about these type of things, is, as a competitor, would you rather, A, the team that is smoking you lay off and take mercy upon you just to get the game over, or would you rather them continuously fight with the same effort that you're going to try to have to get back in the game and basically, you know, completely embarrass you on the scoreboard?
Listen. It doesn't matter if it's Fernando Tatis Jr. at the plate making $15 million or whatever he's making, or which he isn't because he's so young, or somebody playing in independent ball. You're putting food in your mouth. You nowadays, it is different. You're trying to stay in professional baseball. You're trying to stay at that level. Would I have thought that was awful years ago? I don't think so. You know, and I think that's where, you know, people came out and there were people defending him and then there were people, you know, upset at him. I just don't understand. I mean, this is a guy, he's standing at home plate. He's not guaranteeing himself one RBI, but he makes money by hitting a ball out of the yard, driving in runs and getting his batting average up. And you know what? If a guy's struggling throwing strikes, he's going to have to throw a cookie at some time. Well, I would have loved to have been up. I would love to be in that situation, been down or up 3-0 in the count, and the pitcher's got to throw a strike. We're looking for one pitch, and I'm going to do whatever I got to do to hit out of the ballpark and get my 4 RBIs. That's just the way the game – that's the way the game's played. And, you know, I think that we saw during that, I like the thought of let these guys play, you know. That's just the way it's got to be. And, you know, is it disrespect? I don't see the disrespect in that where he's coming out of his shoes to get those 4 RBIs. That's how he feeds it. That's how he feeds his family. That's what he goes out and does on a daily basis. And he trains to be in that situation. So do I agree 100% with it? I think I see both sides, but nowadays, you know, we're in a situation where he's got to do what he's got to do.
That kind of seems to be the consensus with Tatis. And maybe it's not so much the fact that they were up, but the fact that it was a 3-0 pitch, which you very rarely, I shouldn't say very rarely, nowadays, you see a lot of green lights at 3-0 now because so many guys are concerned about that RBI, about that hit, about that home run, whatever it could be, for their numbers. But also, you brought up something that I think is the biggest reason why the perception of the unwritten rules has become so generational. There's such a gap and a divide in it now, and a lot of it is because society as a whole has become very, very much a personality-driven society. It's about your look at me. It's about what you can bring and about the kind of personality you can bring out. And Major League Baseball has kind of steered into that curve a little bit with the Let the Kids Play campaign. Ronald Acuna Jr., Manny Machado, Aaron Judge, Mookie Betts, you know, pick the guys, but there's flair
yes.
in the game now. And that is something that the younger audience that baseball desperately needs craves.
Correct.
Is that personality, is that flair, is that, you know, Steph Curry, LeBron James, Cam Newton style of play that you haven't really seen prior to maybe 2014.
Oh, agree. And, you know, this is, people have to realize too, this is one of the most boring sports on the planet as well. Okay. I mean, I do this for a living, but it is, we know it's a standstill, you know, I mean, you know, in 5 seconds, something happens exciting. If it's 15 to 20 seconds, it's because a guy's jogging around the bases or sprinting around the bases. I mean, the excitement happens, and then you're waiting another 3 minutes for something to happen. So, you know, there is, I feel today there's so much more excitement in the game of baseball than there has been in years. I love seeing what guys are doing every single night. You know, I'm glued to the MLB Network. I mean, you and I talk about it on a daily basis, you know, just what happens. And, you know, we see it even at this level that there's guys that have been to the league and they carry themselves like they've been to the league and they can back it up. I mean, if that's, you have to play with some flair and you have to be able to go out on a daily basis and perform up to who you perceive, So you go out on a daily basis and you play at a high level and you have this picture of yourself and who you are as a player, and you have to back that up every single day. And these guys could do it. And that's what they're doing at that level now. I think that, you know, when we look back at the unwritten rules, I mean, I disagree with some of the things that are happening in the game today, but again, you have to change with the way the times are. And we have to do that. You know, I have Frank in the dugout next to me, and, you know, we don't argue about it because we know that the game needs to be played a certain way, and we hold guys accountable for that. And if they play on our roster, they're going to. When we're talking about throwing at guys, and listen, there's every once in a while, there's nothing wrong with knocking a guy off the plate. And I think that that is what I'm struggling with now, is you can't throw inside anymore. You know, I don't like pitchers, Christian. You know, I don't like pitchers.
Let's get into that, because it seems as though, I think the general consensus, if you pull the majority of baseball fans and you ask them about bat flips, they would say they love them. Mm-hmm. They would, all for them. And we've seen bat flips throughout history. Like, mm-hmm. That's nothing new. It's not a new concept. But throwing at people, that's where it's really started to become so divisive, especially with fans, commentators, whatever it is, because, and this is from a guy who never played more than, you know, low-level collegiate baseball, mm-hmm. but you don't throw at a guy's head.
No.
And that's where it seems to be. If you're going to throw at a guy, especially now when you've got guys who almost everybody can throw 98.
Right. I mean, 101 was thrown at somebody's head last night. Right. I mean, this needs to, something's going to happen. Baseball is going to, they're going to have to police it. We know that. You know, the even back in the day, the unwritten rule, you know, the middle, hit him in the middle of the back is fine, you know, or lower. You know, the way it can be handled, it can police itself, and the umpires are in there with you. You know, you're all in the ring together, so you all understand what's going on. But when you throw and miss at a guy, and you throw and miss at a guy, and you throw and miss at a guy, and then you hit a guy all in the same at bat, you know, excessive. Let's be honest. It looks terrible. It just does nothing good for baseball. And that's where the two dugouts end up coming out onto the field, and that's when guys end up getting hurt. Is there's nothing worse than getting in the batter's box and knowing that you're going to get domed. I mean, it just isn't, you know. And whoever it was that got in the box last night against Chapman, first of all, who's going to charge Chapman? Not too many people, okay? But at 101 at your head, something needs to be said, and the game needs to be policed. I think it'll happen. I think we're going to see that happen. But there's nothing. You need to know that when guys act out of character, that's the key here, okay? Fernando Tatis Jr. goes out and backs everything up that he the way he acts. He is not. Do I think he's a showboat? No, I think he's just he is what baseball needs. We need excitement, you know. When he hits a home run, just like Osuna did against the Red Sox last night. I mean, some of his times around the bases. Well, you know what? You don't like it? Don't give up three bombs to the guy. Don't watch him run around the bases three times. I'm sorry, right? You could have policed that after your second one by hitting him in the leg, and it's over, you know. I'm sure words would have been exchanged, but that's just the way you can. Those are the small things that you can do during the game. Instead, you leave a 2-0 fastball middle to a fantastic hitter, and it's probably going to go 460 feet, you know? So if you give that up, don't take offense to him running around the bases that way. But in the same breath, whether it's Tatis or whether it's Judge or whatnot, listen, if I strike you out with the bases loaded and the game's tight, and I pump my fist and I have something to say about it, you can't pop off to me either. That's where the line sometimes seems to be crossed to me, is that, listen, I would love to see, you know, an Aaron Judge bat flip. And then the next time he strikes out and the guy pumps his fist, now, you know, and they both tip their hat to each other. That's the way it should be, you know, babe. But it gets taken when guys act out of character. Guys are trying to be somebody that they're not. And that's where you're at with a Fernando Tatis Jr. is that he can walk the walk and talk the talk.
And it's interesting, too, because you have guys who, you know, I go back to – the one I always go back to is – Arroyo and A-Rod, in 2004, where, you know, Arroyo just flips a curveball and it goes right over A-Rod's head. Arroyo's a young guy. A-Rod's, you know, the next coming of Christ, you know, whatever it is. In 2004, Veritek obviously gets in the middle. We all know what happens there. But that's different than Aroldis Chapman the other night, or even a couple weeks ago, Joe Kelly at Alex Bregman and Carlos Correa,
right,
with the Houston Astros. There's a difference in it because it's not only where you hit the guy, but it's what you hit him with.
Right.
100 miles an hour at the head is a lot different than 87 at the back.
Right. And let's be honest, if you watch baseball in an entire season, there are two or three pitches, four pitches that get away from guys and go up and in. We totally understand that. And there are guys that just don't throw at people. But, you know, Now we're seeing it at such a rate that, you know, it's not going to hurt somebody, Christian. It's going to kill somebody. And that's the problem is that, you know, you're talking, you're not faster than baseball. It doesn't matter who you are. I don't know how he got out of the way of that last night. Let's be honest. But, you know, when we're talking about that and when we look at it, you know, there are things that happen in the game that only everybody on the field knows. And you understand that. You see some of that, even from the booth, or you might be standing in the stands, and you understand what's going on. You know, this guy gets hit. All right, it's over, right? Now, if he gets to first base and he starts chirping, that's when all the feelings get hurt. Again, this is somebody that's trying to, whoever this person may be, they're trying to be somebody that they're not, and you can't do that. You just got to be that same guy every single day and go out and play the game the way you know how. And right now, Fernando Tatis Jr. is playing the game the way he knows how. And, you know, they might have been up 13-7 the other day, and there was a man, and he was on second base, and he takes third, and he's safe, and they have a problem. Hold him on. Do something different. Do, you know, try to do what you can to stop the bleeding. And he's going after an MVP, right? Because it's almost payday for Fernando Tatis Jr. So he's going after an MVP. He wins that MVP. He's probably got 400 million reasons to be smiling, and he you know, but right now he's just having fun. He's going out and playing the game the way he needs to play it. And listen, again, I talk about the pitchers and how I feel about them, and you know that it's not true, but I let the pitchers know that. But you know, the pitchers can police the game the way they need to police it. And you know, we had some vets in this league last year that, you know, they just took it in stride. You can see the kids that play out of character, and you can see the kids that play in character. And when you have that option to be able to realize who guys are and what they do on a daily basis to go out and play and how they play the game, and they pop off, then you can control it by throwing one chest down for sure.
Talking with Jamie Key, professional baseball manager, former minor leaguer as well. As always, like to get your guys' input and your thoughts. And this is one where a lot of fans have been, and listeners have been asking questions and productive about this, which is kind of fun because, again, it is a very divisive topic for a lot of people. So first question for you is, were you ever the guy, because we see this a lot, a guy like Tatis hits a home run, it's the next guy who's going to get plunked. Were you ever that next guy to get plunked?
I don't think so. I don't think so. And maybe part of that is I didn't hit in the heart of lineup. I was probably hitting second or ninth, you know, first, second or ninth. So I didn't hit in that area. I mean, I've got some great stories over the years of some of the guys, and I won't use any names on here, but I mean, I can picture one happening that somebody that was a three hole hitter for us, when I was an independent ball, hit a home run, stood and watched it. And the guy coming up behind him, who's one of my dearest friends, walked up literally dragging the bat, knowing that he was just going to stand in there and wear one. But that's how we played in the 90s. That's how it was policed. It was taken care of. And, you know, it's not played the same way anymore. And again, I want to go back to how boring the game can be at times. And, you know, these guys are out there having fun and they're playing, you know, the game of baseball at the highest level maybe it's ever been played. And it is a lot of fun to watch. But you know, it gets out of hand at times, and it just needs to be policed by the correct people. And sometimes it's not. I will say that it has been policed by the wrong people in my mind so far this season, and maybe over the last couple of years, because it can take care of itself on the field, and you don't necessarily need to sit guys down for as many games as, especially in a 60-game season. So that tends to bother me a little bit, you know, because there is that part of the game that needs to take care of itself.
Is there a difference? Another question is brought up. Is there a difference in a guy who does something wrong during the game, like stealing up a certain amount of runs, watching a, mm-hmm. admiring a home run, as opposed to players or guys who do something wrong to the game off the field? For example, the Astros with sign stealing, or Jim Bowden with ball four, right, or anything like that. Is there a difference in how the unwritten rules impact those two scenarios?
No, they all should be policed on the field. I think that's how they all should be done. And I think if they, you know, if people are doing it the correct way, it can all take care of itself between the lines and on the field. And you know, I do know that nowadays, and I'm sure social media has a big part of this because everybody sees it. I do know now that nowadays, when a guy does get drilled correctly, it gets blown up. It gets blown out of proportion. And, you know, I'm sure social media has a huge, huge to do with that. And, you know, you can see every pitch in every game now. You know, we used to read about it in the paper. That doesn't happen anymore. And, you know, if it's taken care of correctly, it's probably never spoken of again. But, that, you know, now the media can grab it and they can blow it up, and it becomes such a factor in going into tonight's game with the Yankees. Let's be honest. You know, that's going to be, I mean, you told me that I can get out of here at 5:15 tonight. I'm going to be watching that at 7. Let's be honest. I can't wait to watch it. I know something's going to happen. I don't know what. I just hope it's taken care of the right way.
Is there such a thing as a veteran's pass, whatever it might be? We see this in a lot of other sports. You know, the big stars get the pass. They get the call, whatever it is. Is it the same way on the baseball field for a guy? You know, you're not going to throw to a guy like Mike Trout, but a guy like, you know, nothing against him, Scooter Jeanette.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that's the guy that you're going to take your frustration out on.
Yeah, I mean, and that's that tends to be the problem in my eyes. Mm-hmm. Is that, listen, if somebody's got an itch with somebody, go after their star. You know, if you got a problem with the other team, go after their guy. You know, it's the same way. You know, it might be the nine-hole hitter that's playing for me and their stud's on the mound, and he's got a problem with the guy that did something to his four-hole hitter who he's protecting. He might be the nine-hole hitter. He could care less. He knows if that guy comes out of the game, we got an issue. So he might start something, you know, when he steps into the box. So, again, these are things that can so be policed by the players, and they can so be policed the way it should be policed, and that's on the field. We just have to be careful of the, you know, there shouldn't be there needs to be something said about the way things are being policed. That's probably the problem that we have right now, is that if we can lower that 101 and put it in the rib cage or put it at the hip, I think that, you know, we're probably not having this conversation, and it can police itself. But again, you have to understand the game has changed, right? And we understand that. And until baseball allows pitchers to throw back inside, we are going to have this problem, because there's too many guys that are on top of the plate. And this is coming from a hitter. These guys are on top of the plate. That's what they do. So the only way you're going to be able to take care of things is by getting in there. And that's getting in their kitchen, not even hitting them, but just getting in there. So in my eyes, you can't have an umpire that's already got a phone call from the commissioner's office or someone else in baseball that has already heard, oh, you got to take, you know, guys shouldn't be getting brushed back. So, and the other thing is, you know, you throw inside, the guy throws his hands up to get out of the way. Well, it's blown out of proportion, and, you know, he gets upset, and now both teams get warned. And the rest of the game ends up, it goes from a 2-1 ball game to 15-14, you know, loss for the other team. So I think that it can all take care of itself out there, and that's the way it should be.
Last one for you, and I don't know how you're going to answer this one, but I have an idea, because I think this is a question that everybody would love to ask every manager in the history of baseball. Have you ever told a guy to throw at someone?
No.
Okay.
No.
Because I think that's where a lot of people have, you know, is there ever that discussion, or is it just kind of like a almost like an unspoken thing?
It's definitely unspoken. Now, I will say this. It's never come out of my mouth. I know that I've gotten looks from pitchers. I know that I've gotten looks from catchers. I know that I haven't come out of the dugout and said no. So it can happen, you know. I think that I've been tossed before for making, you know, supposedly making that happen. I mean, I was just yelling at my catcher. That's what I tend to do, is I never really vent my frustration on my pitcher when he's on the mound. I'll vent it to my catcher. And, you know, I think early in my career as a manager, I probably said, I don't know what came out of my mouth. I just know that, you know, I yelled at my catcher, like, what are we doing here? And the next pitch hit somebody, so I got tossed. So, you know, again, I never told somebody to hit somebody, but I think, those are the things that can get policed out there. Yeah. It doesn't necessarily have to be said. It can take care of itself. And if you've got the right guys playing for you, Christian, as we did here last year, and I have been lucky enough in the past, nothing needs to be said. Guys just take care of their own business. You know, when you've got wily veterans that have been around for a long time, even some of these young guys that have played at a high level, they come in and they take care of themselves. That's the fun part of the business, is watching the game evolve in front of you and seeing these guys take care of things. That's what makes it fun.
Not just an unwritten rule, but sometimes a lot of unspoken.
For sure.
Jamie Keefe, manager of the High Point Rockers, we appreciate the time as always, bud.
Thanks, man.
All right, it's Jamie Keefe, manager of the High Point Rockers in the Atlantic League of Independent Baseball. 20 years managing, and another 8 or 9 as a minor league player, reached AAA. Knows a thing or two about unwritten rules on the field, so we appreciate his time as always, and appreciate you guys listening as always. Next week on the show, we'll confirm the name and let you guys know that, but we're looking for to have a major league hitter on with us to talk about these unwritten rules, and a guy who's played in the majors in the last couple of seasons too, so he may have a little bit of an idea as to how things have changed on the field recently without players responding to these things. Don't forget to find us on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Just search Caught Listening by Public House Media, or email the show, caughtlisteningphm@gmail.com. Subscribe, rate, review, share with your friends and family. I'm Christian Heimel. As always, you can find me on Twitter @ChrisHeimel. And until next week, you have been caught listening.